Welcome to the Forward with Purpose podcast. Your hosts are Linda Keener Thomas from the National Memorial for the Unborn and Mindy Lefeshore from An Even Place Virtual Abortion Healing Groups and Coaching for Pro-Life Ministry Workers. We understand the power of addressing the abortion wound, which then allows us to confidently stand in the gap for the next person. We also understand how lonely and heavy this work can be. This podcast is designed to connect you with other leaders doing this work, to learn from the vast wealth of knowledge and experience that is out there. God has designed you for greater things. God has commissioned you to a precious and sacred place in abortion recovery ministry work. It is our hope you are encouraged and equipped as you move forward with purpose in your ministry. Hello again. This is Mindy and Linda with Forward with Purpose podcast, and we have Sarah Hamilton with us. She is going to be talking about her annual reunion that she does with her ladies that go through Forgiven and Set Free. So, Sarah, we just want to say welcome. Thank you for your time. And we just want you to share a little bit about you, how you got here, what your story is, and how you got here.
Great. Well, thanks so much for having me. I work at a pregnancy center, Real Options, and I came to Real Options. It was kind of interesting. My pastor told me about Real Options, thinking I would be a good fit as a church liaison. And he had no idea that I had experienced abortion in college. So he just was thinking, oh, she'll be a good fit. So I went to the volunteer training for Real Options, having no clue what I was stepping into, but obviously God knew, and I'm sure he was laughing. As I came to Real Options and had to go through the Forgiven and Set Free Bible study. So I did that, and it completely changed my life. God used that study to heal my heart. I had had a lot of misconceptions about God and his character, and Forgiven and Set Free does a wonderful job of talking about the attributes and character of God and just really laying a foundation for healing. So going through that, it was just a really amazing experience. As I've said earlier, I think it saved my marriage. I had my abortion with my college boyfriend who became my husband. And there was a lot of anger and resentment there that I had carried into the marriage and didn't even realize it. So I was able to get healed in those areas. And also the shame. Shame was really big for me. And being able to shed that shame and walk on in freedom after going through that Bible study was just huge. So I did that in 2001. And I've been at Real Options ever since.
That's great. And you say shame was big for you. And I find that interesting because I think every single one of us would say the same thing. Yeah. Shame was really big for me too. You know, I mean, it's the bully in our lives, you know, and I don't know about you all, but shame mostly comes from inside in my own head. Mm-hmm. You know, the whisperings of the enemy, my own mind working against me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think when we understand it correctly and can see it for what it is, then it loses all the power that it has mm-hmm. over us. So
yeah,
I love the way Forgiven and Set Free lines that up to walk you through that.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating that you're still married too, to the father of your baby.
Yes.
That's a rarity. So God did something great there. Is he involved in the ministry with you at all, or did he go through his own healing process there?
He went through a lot of the healing when he became a believer, I would say, because he actually became a believer after we were married. It's all kind of, I don't know if it's different for guys or, you know, but for him, it all came together mm-hmm. in his healing. So he's definitely a big supporter of the ministry.
That's great. Well, you have a reunion that you do annually. So I just want you to talk about that, you know, how that got started, what exactly you do. Are the women local coming in? you know, how it's helping them?
Yeah, so the reunion was actually going on before I started. The Forgiven and Set Free Bible study had been going on a couple years before I came to Real Options. So they had been having reunions. But it's just such a great way to reconnect people, to reconnect with their old groups. You know, we share so much in those groups and we feel like the women become a part of our family and then we might not see them for years. So it's just great to be able to offer them a place on a yearly basis. If they're free, they can come.
Yeah, when you're in the group, they're always like, we're never going to see each other again, you know, so that gives you that. I love it.
That's right. We also do a lot of just getting together for dinners within the groups. Like say, you know, a group just wants to keep meeting over and over, and they do. They stay in touch that way. But another thing I like about the reunions is it's a touch point for us to be able to tell them about the ministry and what's going on, just kind of a update. Because let's face it, really the women who go through your study, they're your ambassadors. They're the ones that can really speak to what God does and the healing that takes place. And so they can go tell others about what it's about and kind of be a spokesperson. So I like that aspect as well. And also I would say just being able to help people on their walk with the Lord and growing in Christ, and just kind of a encouraging checkpoint. How are you doing? What is God having you do now? That kind of thing.
Okay. So give us an idea of, if I was coming to this dinner, what could I expect from start to finish?
Okay. So you would come in and we have a QR code where they can scan it and update their information. I want to be able to keep in contact with everybody. And so if anything needs to be updated, they can do it there. And I usually ask them some questions, usually having to do with whatever I'm working on at the time, like, check this box. I would like more information on the testimony workshops, or I want to know more about volunteering, or I want my church to get more involved. Just depending on what I have going on, it's like when I'm trying to see if there's more churches we can reach that aren't already doing some type of abortion recovery, then that's a great way to get plugged into those churches. We always wear name tags because there's so many, you know, they're from different groups. And we're in Texas, so we have taco bar. That's a must. Maybe not for you people in Tennessee or somewhere else, but I joke about it, but it's really like the food that vegetarians can eat, gluten-free people can eat. So it's kind of my go-to.
So you keep it simple.
Absolutely. I think simplicity is key. And getting people to help you too, bringing in women who maybe don't want to lead a group or be a part of the leadership that way, but they have the gift of hospitality, because nobody wants to be stuck cleaning up, you know, after everyone has left. So just have a group of people clean up. I think there's always ways to pull people in. So some of the things that we talk about, like I was saying, I like to give the information. So I tell them when we're going to be doing another testimony workshop, when we're going to be doing another group or retreat, when the next volunteer training for the center is going to be held. And then we just kind of have a circle time where we give updates on what's going on. We share the approximate time because usually they can't remember exactly the approximate time they went through Forgiven and Set Free. And then anything else they want to share, what's God doing in your life right now? What's exciting happening in your life, or something we can be praying for you. Just something really simple that we can go around the circle and get everybody talking.
Okay. And how long does this dinner last from start to finish?
About an hour and a half.
Okay. So they serve themselves because it's a taco bar. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes. So we usually just have them fix their plates as they're coming in just because our setup is kind of cramped. So moving around is kind of hard. So they fix their plate as they come in, and then we, you know, pray for it once we begin with everybody.
Nice. Nice. Okay. Well, that sounds really simple. I mean, you know, when I think an annual reunion or an annual dinner or whatever, because I know there's some other people that do them, I think complicated, but that's simple. I mean, there's really just nothing to that. Nothing. And so out of those women, do you find that because you're touching base with them and getting together with them again, that they are more apt to volunteer or do a workshop?
Yes, I think that has helped a lot in just keeping people engaged in the ministry. So it's not just I went through that, I'm moving on with life, but they're really just a part of the ministry in some ways, because, you know, if they're not leading or helping you in some way, they could be volunteering, or maybe they want to be on the prayer team. There's just all kinds of ways they can get involved, and just helping them to be a part of things, I think, is huge. And it keeps you and your ministry on their mind so that they can tell people about what's going on.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And I liked how you said, I have a note here. You said that they are our ambassadors. And that's true. You know, I guess when you said it, I was like, well, it's like a no brainer, no duh kind of a moment, you know, but the light bulb went on in my mind. I'm like, yeah, that's right. They are our ambassadors.
It's like David Kessler, who was part of the Kubler-Ross original five steps. In his book, he's added a sixth step, and that is meaning, bringing meaning out of it. And that's what all of this is allowing them a chance to, out of Corinthians, you know, the ministry that we've received, the reconciliation, we now become the ministers. And that is such an important step.
Yeah,
it is.
That's good.
So I think, like we've said, simplicity is key. Even before I started, they used to send like a paper invitation and everything. You know, we couldn't text then, but now we just text a simple Canva invite and just have them let us know if they're coming. And another thing, if they're not able to come, I ask them if they would be willing to just give us an update. So let me know what's going on so I can share it with the group. And we've had some just really beautiful stories come out of that. I've talked to people that have moved away and can't come to the reunion,
right?
But just hearing what God is doing in their lives. Recently, I was talking to a lady, and she had just adopted a son. And that was one of the things on when she was going through the Bible study was, I'm never going to be able to be a mom, you know? And then just how God changed her heart. And then she eventually down the road did become a mom on earth. So it was just interesting. I love hearing the stories. I love staying connected.
That's really cool. I like that. So your groups, are they usually, when you do your Forgiven and Set Free, are they usually in person or do you do virtual?
We usually do in person. Whenever it's virtual, lately, it's individual. For some reason, they're not able to come to the group. But we, being in the Dallas area, we usually fill up and do in-person groups.
Okay. That's great. Well, I think that was very informative and simple. I mean, I like simple. I like things that don't require a lot of work. So when you're doing one of these reunions, just out of curiosity, how many women on average show up and how much help do you actually need to prepare this reunion?
Yeah, so I would say average 25, 30 women.
That's okay.
Yeah, and what's great is they know that if they don't get to come this year, they can come next year. So they always know that it's going to be happening where they can come.
Yeah.
And as far as help, just a handful, I would say, you know, somebody to pick up the food and bring it, set it up. Maybe a couple people to set up and then a couple people to clean up. That's really all you need.
That's not bad. And so what's the cost for something like this?
Well, it's something we put in the annual budget. And so I usually, let's see, I think it's probably around $400 for the food. As far as, I like to give them a little giveaway to take, a little memento. And sometimes it's a bookmark, which I make and get somebody to help me make. Or I don't know if you've seen the soapstone hearts from Kenya. I see a lot of people giving those away.
Yes.
So we have a donor that provides those for us. So sometimes we do that. We don't do it every year because I don't want everybody to have a bunch of those. But, you know, that's a good one. So I try to get donations and help that way.
Those soapstones, I'm going to veer off here just a minute. Those are actually quite amazing. I did remember that what that was. And I have a manger set for Christmas made out of soapstone.
I do too. I have one of those.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. They're amazing. And the story of how or the what it takes to reach the soapstone in the earth is pretty incredible.
I don't know if you have seen them, Linda, but.
I haven't. I've seen the white ones. Like they're now. Is that naturally that color, or did they color it?
No, don't they paint them?
Okay, because the ones I have are naturally the color white or whatever color they come out of the earth, and they got like they can have a pink hues or grays or kind of neat looking. So, but that was cool. I like the paint. All right. Well, I think that's about it. And I just thank you again for your time and sticking it out with us and having patience with me to do it again. Since we did part one, we had to re-record. So if you haven't listened to that, go ahead and listen to that. But Sarah, it's been a joy.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks. It's been a great interview and very practical. I know some people are going to put this into practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Very easy.
Thanks, ladies. It was fun.
Yeah. You take care.
Bye-bye.